Welcome to This is America in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Shirley Griffith. This week on our program, we bring you some laughs from old-time American radio shows.
But I want to find out. I say, who's on first? What's on second? I don't know who's on third.
Bud Abbott and Lou Costello were two of America's funniest funny men. Abbott and Costello appeared in theater, movies, and television. But they owed much of their fame to radio and a routine called Who's On First?
Abbott plays a manager of a baseball team. Costello has trouble understanding that the players have funny nicknames. Like who?
Yes. You're going to be the coach, too?
Yes.
Do you know the fellow's name?
No, I should.
Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
I mean the fellow's name.
Who?
The guy on first.
Who?
The first base.
Who?
The guy playing
who's
first.
Who's on first?
I'm asking you who's on first.
That's the man's name.
That's who's name?
Yes.
Well, go ahead and tell
that's
me.
That's it.
That's who?
Yes.
Another of America's great comedians was Fred Allen. As early as 1936, he had a weekly radio audience of about 20 million people. So says the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago. For almost 20 years in the 1930s and 40s, Fred Allen had a radio show called Allen's Alley. His career also included television and Broadway shows. Like many performers of his time, he starred in vaudeville in the early 1900s. Vaudeville shows presented all kinds of entertainment. He began as a juggler, someone who can keep several objects in the air at the same time. But he was presented as the world's worst juggler.
After that, he performed as a comedian. Vaudeville comedy acts usually contained a series of disconnected jokes. But during the Great Depression, Fred Allen had the idea of creating a series of complete stories and situations. Every week, on the radio, he would visit an imaginary place, Allen's Alley, where he would talk with characters like Senator Claghorn. Senator Claghorn was a politician who talked a lot but never said anything. But some of Fred Allen's funniest programs were about his supposed longtime dispute with another radio star, Jack Benny.
As a young man, Jack Benny played violin in a vaudeville theater in his home state of Illinois. When the United States entered World War I, he joined the Navy. He played his violin for other sailors, but the sailors liked his jokes better than his music. So Jack Benny decided to become a comedian. In the early 1930s, Jack Benny got his own radio show. It lasted for 23 years.
Listeners loved it when Jack Benny and Fred Allen would say bad things about each other on their shows. But two comedians could still be friends, or at least friendly enough to perform together. In 1950, on Jack Benny's radio program, they did a skit about an early visit to their talent agent.
They are partners in a vaudeville act that they think is wonderful. They hope the agent will get them an appearance in a good theater. But first, they have to get past his secretary.
Now, what's the name of your act again?
Allen and Benny.
I thought you said it was Benny and Allen.
Well, at 2 o'clock, our billing changes.
Well, what kind of an act do you do?
Violin, clarinet, and snappy patter.
And where have you played?
Oh, all over.
Well, where?
Well, just tell her the important dates, Jack.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, we did a week in Sow Belly, Wyoming.
week in Loose Tooth, Arizona. 3 days in Stagnant Water, New Mexico. And we also played the Palace here in New York.
Sow Belly, Loose Tooth, Stagnant Water, and the Palace. Well, at least you worked your way up.
No, we played the Palace first.
Finally, they see the agent, Mickey Rockford, and appeal to him for a break. A chance to become stars. But he is not interested. Still, they get him to listen to their act. They remind him that he booked them once before.
Mr. Rockford, I'm Jack Benny. This is Fred Allen.
That's right, Mr. Rockford. Remember, you booked our act in the Palace 7 years ago.
Oh, yes. What business are you in now?
Well, we're still in show business.
Yes, and we thought you could book us.
Please, fellas.
Our new act is sensational. At least give us a chance, Mr. Rockford.
Yes, all we need is one good break, you know.
I gave you a break when I put you in Lowe's Flatbush.
Some break. They opened with Fink's Mules, then Major Doty's Dogs came out, then Manny's Monkeys, then Powers Dancing Elephants.
So what?
Well, by the time we came out, we looked like the last two passengers on Noah's Ark.
Mr. Rockford, how about listening to our new act?
Oh, all right, if you insist.
Ready with your clarinet, Fred?
Ready.
Okay. 1, 2. Mr. Allen.
What is it, Mr. Benny?
Have you heard that they're making women's bathing suits out of spun glass?
Women's bathing suits out of glass? Well, that's worth looking into.
I'll take it, Mr. Allen.
If you will.
So do I. Music once saved my uncle's life.
Well, how did music save your uncle's life?
They played the Star Spangled Banner just as he was sitting in the electric chair. Take it, Mr. Allen.
Oh, Mr. Benny.
Yes, Mr. Allen.
I want you to meet my new girl. Her name is Well Enough.
Why do you call your girl Well Enough?
Because I want the boys to leave Well Enough alone. How about the finale, Mr.?
In unison?
All right.
At the same time Fred Allen and Jack Benny were making America laugh, so was Bob Hope. Hope entertains people all over the world for 70 years. In 1937, Bob Hope began a series of radio programs called the Woodbury Soap Show. The next year, he started a radio show for the company that made Pepsodent toothpaste. His Tuesday night radio show soon became popular. Bob Hope continued doing radio shows for almost 20 years. His success in radio led to a long-term relationship with Paramount Pictures, a major film company. The actors in his movies were also the characters on his radio shows.
For 50 years, Bob Hope entertained members of America's Armed Forces. He took his radio show to military bases from the South Pacific to Greenland. One time, after World War II ended, he brought his radio show to soldiers waiting at a base in California to return to civilian life.
I knew these boys would be glad to see me here today. I said, look, fellas, here's the kind of clothes you'll be wearing when you get out. And 50 guys re-enlisted. I saw some of these fellas shopping for clothes in Hollywood. And they're used to getting stuff from a supply sergeant. The clerk had to throw the suits on the floor before these guys would try them on. One soldier had been fighting in the jungles for years, and I don't know if it affected him or not, but when the clerk handed him a tweed suit to try on, he spent 3 hours searching through the fuzz for snipers.
Bob Hope came to the United States as a child from England with his family. As a young performer, he had a song and dance act with partners for a while, but then he began to perform by himself. He sang and danced well. He also kept people laughing with his jokes, which he told very fast. In the 1930s in New York, he appeared in Broadway shows. Success on Broadway brought him a part in the movie The Big Broadcast of 1938.
In that film, he sang a song with Shirley Ross called Thanks for the Memory. It became his theme song, the song people think of when they think of Bob Hope.
Thanks for the memory of sentimental verse, nothing in my purse, and chuckles when the preacher said, for better or for worse,
how lovely it was. For the memory of Schubert's serenade, little things of jade, and traffic jams and anagrams and bills we never paid.
How lovely it was. We who could laugh over big things were parted by only a slight thing.
I wonder if we did the right thing. Oh, well, that's life, I guess.
I love your dress.
Do you?
It's pretty.
Thanks for the memory of faults that you forgave, rainbows on a wave,
and stockings in the basin when a fellow needs a shave. Thank you so much.
Our program was written by Geraldine Watson and produced by Katie Weaver. I'm Steve Ember.
And I'm Shirley Griffith. Archives of programs with transcripts and MP3s are at voaspecialenglish.com. Join us again next week for This Is America in VOA Special English.
Hashed with Dinty Moore, that pair of gay pajamas that you bought and never wore.
Say, by the way, whatever became of those pajamas?
Huh? We said goodbye with a highball.
Then I got as high as a steeple.
Did you?
But we were intelligent people.
No tears, no fuss. Hooray for us. Strictly entre nous, darling, how are you?
And how are all those little dreams that never did come true?
Awfully glad I met you.
Cheerio, toodaloo.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.